Hey everyone, thanks for listening to another great episode, and man, what a whirlwind of episodes that we've been so far. Okay, so yeah, I know that in a couple days, or even tomorrow, the Netflix special, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always, is going to debut. And for that, they actually literally had some original characters that came back. Especially some longtime members of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from all the way from season 1 to season 3. And yes, I know, I heard a lot of controversies about that, and yes, we lost a dearly departed member of the team. Well, two dearly departed. And of course, it is grave stricken on the one recent one. But even so, it is, as a legacy goes, it's always going to live on forever and ever. And highly, highly respect the respective families of both these Rangers. These talented people were fantastic. I never had a chance to meet Tia Twang, but from her co-stars that she was a part of, she was literally a light in everyone's day from what I've heard. So it is truly an honor to hear about that, as well as had met Jason David Frank. And I think I did a quick episode, ironically, maybe a day or same day of his passing. But this episode is definitely dedicated to the ones that are still around, still here with us, and as well as their legacy that they have left behind those 30 years ago. Definitely 30 years ago to the date when the first episode of the series started, and that is tremendous enough. If those who haven't seen the original, or seen the original, or somehow see the remake recasting of that when ABC did the redux or redo version of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with more of a techno or retro add-ons to their thing, it is what it was, but minus the new stuff. But even so, we had Jason, Zach, Trini, Billy, Kimberly, and then a couple of episodes later introducing Tommy. But he wasn't really part of the team per se. He was more of a, let's introduce this villain one-off with the Power Rangers being one of their own, and then later became part of the group in that one. And of course, if it wasn't for Zuranger, which is the Japanese Super Sentai series, which was in its 15th iteration of the series, we wouldn't be able to have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers here in the U.S. So, my hats and bowing down for those wonderful people over in Japan who helped us create the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the western side of the world. So, this episode in particular, how it's titled, yes, we are going to be diving all the way back in 1995, which I'm actually staring at a copy. Yeah, 1995, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the absolutely first film that debuted here in the United States, that deals with a now not green but white ranger with the other original rangers. So let's go ahead and dive into how the story began. So, drawn into the beginning of the film, we are met with an introduction in the voice of Delcia. She will be later mentioned in the future, but we are being told that six teens with attitude helps out an intergalactic person named Zordon, battling another intergalactic person who happens to be a villain named Ivan Ooze, played by Ivan Reitman. Since those teens back then able to subdue Ivan Ooze and capture him, it was then later millennia, or at least towards the near millennia, that the new set of Rangers, which is Rocky, played by Steve Cardenas, Adam, Johnny Young Bush, Aisha, or Ashley, Karen Ashley, Tommy, Jason David Frank, Kimberly, Amy Jo Johnson, and Billy David Joyce. These teens would be the part of the whole movie, so to kind of bridge into that part, we bridge off of the second season, mid-second season, because how Jason, Zach, and Trini had to be teen ambassadors for a world conference. So they had to transfer their powers to Rocky, Aisha, and Adam. So in the film, they're already skydiving, doing a fundraiser with none other than Bulk and Skull, which is Skullovich, which is Professor Jason Neville. The reason why I said that is because I follow him on his media somehow. And Paul Strider being Bulk. Those two are dynamically involved with a wonderful few things, especially the comedic timing and the conventions, which, yes, guys, we truly love pie in the face. anyways, back to the film. They're doing a fundraiser. They're doing skydiving to raise funds for the Angel Grove Observatory, which is ready to be viewing this anticipation coming of Ryan's Comet, which passes in a few days. Sadly, as the teens made the landing, they were wondering where is Bulk and Skull, which gave us this wonderful montage of rollerblading, which in truth and production, some teens have known to rollerblade on their own, but there are some that don't know how to rollerblade, but it is a fantastic tidbit that there will be some scenes that they did and did not. Upon them rollerblading past a construction zone, Bulk and Skull decide to land in there, but accidentally come across with a construction crew unearthing a giant purple egg with a giant claw over it. So somehow it was unearthed and it was like, you know, weird and everything. Bring to our attention to Zordon contacting the teens to go to the command center, which gives us Alpha 5. Alpha 5 would be... Oh boy. I stand corrected on Ivan Ooze, I'm afraid. The gentleman who played Ivan Ooze in the film was Paul Freeman, which is a wonderful Shakespearean actor. But even so, Zordon is telling the teens about Ivan Ooze, how his capsule's been on Earth, and must go and investigate. Before the teens ever arrived, we had, and I will quote this too, we had Lord Zedd, Reed Repulsa, Goldar, and a new character that's actually in the film that was never brought into the mainstream seasons, which is Mordhen, which is like this hairy half-pig monster, which would represent, in a weird way, Squash, Babu, and possibly Finster. sadly, that character is only strictly on the movies, not Goldar, Rita, or Lord Zedd, because those three I just recently mentioned continue on to the series up until the time of season of the fourth, I think around the fourth, fifth era, or towards the end of the Zorodon era, which is basically like the first top like five groups of Rangers, which is Power Rangers in space, that literally ended the whole evil against good and evil kind of deal, because of how that series ended Zordon's reign, which will be explained in once and as always. But in this film, Zordon pretty much told the team to investigate, and then Lord Zedd uncracks this egg to reveal that there is like an ooze-like substance inside of it. And that ooze end up merging out of the egg and form literally Ivan Ooze himself, which is a morphological being, which he can take as many shape or take on any form of a person who have ruled literally on what is now known as Earth so many millennia ago, thanks to Zordon and the teens that helped him put it in there. He literally is seeking revenge after being locked away. So as the teens came to investigate the opening, of course Ivan Ooze uses his ability to copy, and I quote this, copy the security guard that's in there. And of course it was a ball to know that this was kind of interesting to, you know, work on. So yeah, it was quite difficult to even see how strange that this happened, as well as like, hey, this being could transform into anyone, so it is what it is. It's interesting. Even back then, it was kind of weird. But as a way of Ivan Ooze escaping, he was able to form like these little, and I will quote this, ooze-like warriors, and be able to subdue the Rangers, leaving us this wonderful morphin right there instead of the traditional belt buckle with the electronic background behind them. So we get a wonderful fighting scene was Ivan Ooze escapes to the command center, where he subdued Zordon by not only, you know, demolishing the command center, but also subduing Alpha 5, ironically, who's also voiced by Richard Horvath. And for those who doesn't know him, he's a voice actor, and his credits goes beyond Alpha 5. His voice literally carries on to being in Hellboss. And for those who are very adamant on Nickelodeon, he was the voice of Zim. Literal Zim, right there and then. Anyways, of course, the teens did subdue the ooze monsters to realize that they're depowered down. So in a weird way, they have no choice but to huff it on foot to the command center, which is like near dark already, to find out that the command center has been demolished, and we're leaving with ourselves seeing Zordon being of an old feudal state, which is basically a gentleman in a blanket in a chamber round spot, which takes him out of time and place, literally, in the movie. Unbeknownst to the teens, Alpha knows how there's a way for him to survive, but they need to head to another planet in order for them to get these abilities to rejuvenize the whole command center. of course, Apple V sent whatever remaining powers that they had left to send them to a planet called Phaethos. And Phaethos is pretty much like a world where there's an ancient power that's already inside this like area, but they don't know where and don't know when, so they have no choice but to send the kids out to parts unknown. Ravishing the victory, Ivan Ooze decides to pay Rita and Zed a visit, which then on the moon that he usurps, which is takes over them, takes over the palace on the moon by shrinking Rita and Zed into little small size figures for a snow globe, which ironically it was a prop inside there. I think it was kind of cute to even have that there, but even so, to have that done, it was fun, but also forcing Goldor and Mordot to be his servants, and he was able to not only recreate ooze monsters on his own, but he also somehow summoned these winged like creatures known as the Tengu. He was able to summon them and send them forth to Phaethos while he's regaining whatever he lost on Earth. So, in a weird way, he also recruits adults by having their children bring home like these jars of ooze that they decided to like, hey, mom, dad, look what I got. It's more like silly putty, but it's not. And then the parents go like, oh, okay, well, go ahead and check this out. It looks safe enough. So, of course, yeah, that went and happened to be the catalyst how Ivan was able to capture the parents in doing so. On Phaethos, the Rangers survived the trip, but even so, they were nearly dispatched by the army of Tengu that Ivan Ooze sent over. It wasn't until another creature, or another person, saves them, and it happens to be Delcia. Delcia happens to be like a person who's just like Zordon, but only able to like protect a certain part of the world, whereas she can't get near anything that she is protecting. She literally is protecting the great power that's inside this great monolith temple, and if she gets one step further or one step closer to it, she would then becomes like Zordon, getting old and rapidly depowered, which she's the only warrior of the planet. So of course she then summons the other abilities that was also entrusted to her. She was able to depart with the power of ninjutsu or ninjutsu, which if we all are Mighty Morphin fans like myself, this was actually introduced into the main continuity, but it was brought by Ninjor, which is this wonderful samurai blue armored character that helped out with the Rangers from time to time. And then there's these ninja zords, and then the shogun zord. I'm sorry, I'm just going back on that one. So Delcia awakens the animal spirits that are inside each ranger's abilities, whereas Adam is the frog, Tommy is the falcon, Billy the wolf, Rocky the ape or monkey, Kimberly the crane, and Aisha being the bear. And there's one line in there that was kind of cute. Even Johnny on Bush decides to add point to it, that you know that he pointed out that there was like two different lines for that, but the line that stood in the movie was, I'm a frog, and Dalsia mentioned, yes, the one you kiss and get a handsome prince. It was supposed to be like something totally different from it, but it's cute. So with her able to, for her to able to point out these abilities, she has no choice but to somewhat replenish her ability by turning into a bird and fly off, leaving the Rangers with not only new abilities, but a new path of going into what appears to be, you know, different. So she then have the Rangers themselves go all the way to the monolith, which they have to go against like this skeletal dinosaur Triceratops, ironically weird, but also at the same time to battling rock creatures that protects this, you know, monolith spirit. So first they dispatch by having Tommy jump onto the back of the Triceratops, removing a piece of their bone that connects from the rest of the body, which is kind of easy, but you know, it's like how you can disrupt on that one. And then the stone guardians that was surrounding them, there was a lot of abilities that the teens had to equip themselves with. And even so, that also, not only after defeating this guardian, activates this great power, which is literally the coin form of all the animals that they are brought together. Like, there's a picture of the ape, wolf, frog, bear, crane, falcon, all mixed into this one medallion that, like, spurts out the energy that imbues them with the original suits, but with the new coin of their new animals and stuff. So that there is a huge tidbit of the original Rangers with and then without the new coins. Back on Earth, these creatures that Ivanus wanted to bring back to Earth was his ectomorphicons, which is literally a giant epic monster machines that Ivanus created himself. Ironically, one was a hornet's, it was a hornet-like, creature, but humanoid, which is a hornetron, and then there's the scorpitron, which is like literally the scorpion version of it. But thanks to the Rangers having new abilities and new powers and able to like get back from Vetos, they are literally on their way with new Zords, on the way with everything else. Also, back on Earth, with the parents already on Earth, these creatures, Ivanhoe's pretty much told them to leap to their doom at the construction site that they unearthed these creatures at. So, of course, those who are not affected were the kids and their buddy, which is a kid named Fred Kilman, Kyleman, noticed that, hey, we need to, like, enact, and if the world is gonna end, we cannot have it end like this, not without our parents. So, of course, Bulk and Skull, being the adult that they are, decides to help Fred by going to, like, you know, a rail station train and able to help him out with a power pump that was at the construction site, which is like weird. Also, during the time of that whole transporting the kids to the construction site to stop their parents from leaping to their doom, of course we had all the ninja zords, like the wolf, bear, falcon, crane, all digitized and enacting this battle that's literally happening on downtown Indigo Grove. As the moment that they are getting rid of one of the creatures, which is the Scorpitron, like, you know, blowing it to pieces, Ivanhoe decides to take matters into his own hands and he poured himself into one of his creatures, which turns into this giant Jaiku-like Ivan Ooze creature with literally the armor on. And of course, this forms the Ninja Megazord with, you know, the wolf, the ape being the arms, frog being the legs and torso-ish, whereas the bear turns into the body part, torso, and the crane being the head. So we are finally into the whole thing with them fighting on one thing, and then leaving us with the battle against the giant Ivan Ooze Jaiku Kaiju with the newly formed Rangers with their ninja zords. Also during the battle of that, we are also seeing a monolith being crushed by Ivan Ooze's robot form, which makes Tommy to put his Falcon Zord being the railroad piece that needed to be fixed. Turn off the battles was like happening all at once, and it was so crazy. So it happens to be like going around with no problems and everything, so it's fine with them flying out of Angel Grove, because knowing that if there's any more damage to the city, there'll be a lot of things happening. So of course the battle happened out of space with both the Rangers and Ivan Ooze battling it, and sure enough, and this is kind of funny, Aisha initiated a kick me motion for them breaking loose from Ivan Ooze after him literally grabbing a hold of the Rangers, because happens to be a few days later to now have seen Ryan's Comet passing by, which in the trajectory of where the comet's heading, it literally hits Ivan Ooze, both obliterating both himself and the comet, which, you know, thanks Ivan, thank you. And this awakens the parents while being pushed by a fire hose, with the kids trying to brace them on that whole saving them, the release from the influence of Ivan Ooze, and able to, you know, be feeling saved today, except for one thing. The kids return back to the command center with things still disarray, and knowing that Zordon and kind of pass. But Tommy realizing that they all received this great power from another source, so maybe they could try to restore Zordon to his current state, back to his own time parody, or put him back to a time warp in a way. So with the power of the great power that they got from Phaethos, they were able to return back to normal both the command center and Zordon as well. So all is well with the new abilities that they've both granted by the great power, as well as the new power source for the command center. At the end, there is a huge celebration at night that the Power Rangers are celebrated as the heroes who saved the day, which kind of offends Bulk and Skull, because they're the one who kind of like saved the parents, whereas the Rangers save the world. And Fred Kelman was hinted that he would be either the Silver Ranger or the Gold Ranger, which was kind of like a subtle nod that we will see colored Rangers in the future. But as our mid-credits scene for that film, which is ironically after a few establishing shots of wonderful fireworks of this whole thing, we had Goldar literally lounging on the chair being the ruler of evil and everything, served by Morden, to appear successfully safe until Rita and Zed come out of the little jar because of the release of Ivanhoe's being gone, broke free of their spell, and now Lord Zed and Rita staring at Goldar while sitting on the throne, prompting us our uh-oh, and kind of gave us our like lead to a popular song back in the 1990s, which was tremendous. This film was literally the first film that I saw that came from the franchise. It was phenomenal. It was great. Literally, I've seen this piece of artwork, which is the VHS box, which ironically, for those who doesn't know, first it came out in VHS, then DVD, then Blu-ray. And the quote to the back of the VHS, if I have to say it, "Power up with six incredible teens who outmaneuver and defeat evil everywhere as the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But this time, the Power Rangers may have met their match as when they face off with the most sinister monster the galaxy has ever seen, Ivanhoe. Unleashed upon the good citizens of Angel Grove after 6,000 years of imprisonment, Ivanhoe strips the Power Rangers and their leader, Zordon, of their powers. Now the Power Rangers must journey to a distant planet to learn the secret of an ancient Nijeti. Only then will they be empowered with a strong force enough to restore their morphin ability and defeat the evil Ivanhoe. Join the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and their new Ninja Megazord as they fight to save Angel Grove and the world from the forces of evil." Which, as advertising, that's cute as well as fantastic at the same time. But, this is the movie. It was supposed to be like a one-off, but then it continued on to the main continuity. And there was always a lot of like weird productions for this one, but this one here was not filmed on, not filmed exactly like New Zealand that they are currently filming from. This was actually filmed in Sydney, Australia, which back then Australia had wonderful and glorious viewing and settings that was happening around during the time. So it was like, it was fantastic and great. And not to mention, there was a lot of production things that, you know, happens with a lot of things. And I, for one, am just like, you know, I'm already super stoked that almost near 30 years, it was like a dream come true even doing film reviews. So, yes, this film, if you seem to have a copy or have a copy digitized, definitely worth watching. I believe this is also on HBO Max or Max at this very point, because HBO got, you know, with Discovery and all that. Anyways, I would bid you guys adieu, and of course, yes, see the latest Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, both Dino Fury or Super Dino Fury, and then Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always, because that storyline is really crazy. I might do an episode about that one a few days later, because I still have to work on a few other things. But until then, you guys should be safe. You guys be good. May the power protect you. And until the next time, see ya. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Man, what a whirlwind of things happening. One, you can visit my Anchor page at anchor.fm/edcast20, where you can listen to my podcast in seven different podcasts. Spotify being one, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. where you can listen to not only the latest episodes, but some previous episodes as well. I also have, and believe it or not, a blog page now, edwardsreview2.wordpress.com. That is Edwards Review, all in one word, with the number 2, dot WordPress, WordPress.com, where you can read my blog postings as well as the latest episodes that I've been posting on there. Both these sites are amazing, and I do thank for not only the sponsors that helped me out put this together, but also thank you guys for reading and watching this stuff, or kind of listening to this stuff. I haven't done any video yet. So yeah, for anchor.fm edcast20 is my anchor page, as well as edwardsreview2.wordpress.com for the blog posting. Thanks for visiting. See ya.